Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, author, health and nutrition awareness coach, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to this edition of our show. We are in season 3, and if you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome in. Make sure that you visit my website at www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform. And you can also scroll to the bottom of the page where there'll be a banner for this week's show. And it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. Now let's get into today's show where we're going to be talking about helpful living. Okay, there are so many things that are going on in our world today as we still continue to navigate in this space that is still considered pandemic. But you know, there's a whole lot that's going on, and there are many issues that have come up as a result of the pandemic and things that have been pre-existing. And one thing that we're seeing that's being normalized is talking about mental health, about mental wellness, about mental fitness. Those are some of the buzzwords that we're hearing today. And so, you know, we want to make sure that as we're normalizing this, that we're providing resources for people to be able to address those very issues. We want to be able to have safe spaces. And we're hearing, again, those buzzwords that are coming up. And it's important for us to know how we can go about finding what it is that we need to address the things that are happening in our world. I always say we're always looking for ways to cope. And COPE is the acronym for creating our peaceful existence. What are we doing to create that peaceful existence for us? And so to talk about helpful living and to kind of help us go through the weeds of that is my guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Hello, good day to you all. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Kim, for having me share this space with you and talking about mental health. My name is Jamie Rocky Moore Best, and I'm the founder of Helpful Living Magazine, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. And she's got a special guest there with her as well. Her wonderful son. And he'll be joining us and chiming in. So, you know, like I said, you know, this is a wonderful space where we're able to be who we are in the now. And right now she is being an awesome mom to her wonderful son. So we'll welcome him in, and he'll chime in where necessary. Okay. So like I said, what I want to do is first talk about, you know, what you were doing prior to the pandemic, because that's where we begin, because that's where it was a hard stop for a lot of people. And then we can talk about what happened, you know, moving forward that got you into talking more about helpful living.
Well, prior to the pandemic, I had started the magazine in 2019. We all didn't know that this was going to happen, but I just felt God put this on my heart to start something when it came to mental health. I was working at a mental health facility as a discharge coordinator, and my job was to provide outpatient resources for them. Okay. And so one of the things that I realized is there was like a lack of that. So then that's what made me start the magazine. Okay. But even before doing that, I was also, what was I doing? You know, just working, just, you know, trying to stay fit. I had just had my first child. So, you know, trying to get back in the swing of things. Yes. And then, you know, then it got real. I think after shortly after I started the magazine, I had switched jobs and just really trying to like get into the swing of things with being a mom, being a wife, you know, a homeowner, and just doing all those things and, you know, just living life. So
yeah,
that's what I was doing prior to.
Right. And that, and that's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
And you never realize how much you have to juggle. I know with me while going through different transitions, I realized I had, you know, I sought a therapist because it just seemed like so many things were happening so fast.
Yeah.
Becoming a wife and, you know, being called Mrs. Bess, you know, was challenging. It was rewarding. But, you know, after that, after I got married and then also after I had my first child, I felt like I was losing me, losing the core person of who I was, because I added these titles into my life.
Yes.
And so one of the things I did to kind of cope with that was writing and listening to podcasts and things like that. But I was just like, if I'm feeling this way, I know other people are. You know, and that was another reason why it provoked me to start the magazine, because I felt like, you know, everybody goes through life changes, but not everyone talks about how they navigate that or even know what that looks like.
Right. And that's a key component. Like you said, that's a lot that you went through during, you know, a very pivotal time. Like you said, becoming a wife and a homeowner and a mom, a new mom, and you know, having to navigate all of that. And then boom, pandemic hits and you're like, okay, that puts a whole nother spin on it. Now you're in closer quarters, you know, and having to navigate again, like you said, all of those titles, you know, and that's a huge thing to have to contend with, you know, as women of color, you know, it's difficult when, you know, you're looking around, you're expected to be strong, you're expected to fulfill these titles. Like you said, the title of mom is a huge one. The title of wife, there are responsibilities that come along with these titles. And so, you know, to recognize that, okay, I'm in a space where I don't feel like I'm 100% in control, you know, and to be able to ask for that help. You know, and that's where, you know, mental health comes in, because, you know, especially in our community, it's been taboo to talk about it. You know, you just kind of sucked it up and you just did what you had to do because you didn't feel you had the option of having that help. You talked with your girl, your sister friends, or you talked with your family members, but you really didn't, you know, feel like you had a resource. And again, I keep saying our community because we have been affected by, you know, issues of mental health. Some people with, you know, not being able to, you know, have the medical insurance to cover, or feeling like, you know, where do I turn? So definitely seeing your magazine as a resource, you know, or as a way to share stories. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about the magazine and what your thoughts were in creating it for, you know, that help that people are looking for.
Yeah, what really provoked me was just the lack with me starting a magazine pre-pandemic. You know, mental health was so taboo, as you had just mentioned. And, you know, a lot of people came into the hospital just uneducated. They didn't really understand what mental health was, or like, look, I came to the doctors. I came to the hospital because I had a stomach ache. I don't know how I end up here, you know, because back at that time, there wasn't no ER at the facility. So you had to go to the ER and then you would be transferred. So, you know, people were like, why am I here? I don't understand. And there was even oftentimes where there were people who get it, you know, who understood it because they had a history, or, you know, it wasn't like abnormal to hear, you know, they kind of been through this whole song and dance kind of thing. And so they got it, but it would be like the family's on board, but the patient wouldn't be, or the patient's on board and the family wouldn't be. Right. And it's like the patient would, we would, you know, they would stabilize them because it was a stabilized unit. And then they would transfer them back into the environment that they just came from. So if everybody's not on board, right, we just putting a band-aid on you and sending you away and saying good luck. If the same environment that hurt you and caused you to be here, you're going to come right back. You know, you might can handle it a little longer because you have meds, you know what I mean? You might be using your coping skills, but even with that, you know, I always say it's a team effort when it comes to mental health. As a discharge coordinator, I had to work with a team of people, a psychiatrist, a social worker, a nurse, a rec therapist, and workers on the unit to just understand each patient. And it's like, if it takes a hospital, a team of people to do something inpatient, it's going to take a team of people to do something in, you know, in the outpatient, you know, in the outside world, because at least with inpatient, you can kind of control the environment. Not so much. So with that being said, I figured, I said, there has to be something created to educate individuals without them being sold to. Because a lot of times we have brochures and they said, come to our program and you'll learn this, this, and this. And they're like, look, I'm just trying to understand what it means to have bipolar. I'm just trying to understand what anxiety is, what depression is, what schizophrenia is, because I've just been diagnosed with it. And, you know, I felt like it was really important to just have something that people can read, materials where people can relate to, and just have an education around it, knowing what to ask and knowing what to look out for and knowing how to navigate those feelings, because it's a process.
Well, just like you said, it's a disconnect, you know, and we see that happening in the medical field, and we also see it happening, you know, in our education system. Where, you know, just like you said, you have this team of people who are working, you know, with that person to address the issue that they have or the diagnosis that they have. But then, just like you said, there's that little space in between. It's almost like a dotted line. There's that little space where they fall into that gap of, okay, I don't have the advocate. I don't have the person, or I don't have the words. And sometimes that's important. Sometimes the vocabulary, sometimes you just don't have the words to tell people, you know, what it is that you're feeling or the concern that you have. You can tell me that I have diabetes, or you can tell me that I have mental illness, but if I don't know the vocabulary that comes along with that, you know, I don't know how to express what it is that I'm feeling. Does that make sense? You know, you're like, I don't get it. I don't know how to say I'm feeling this kind of way, but I don't know what that means. Is it an emotional thing that I'm having? Is it a spiritual thing that I'm having? Is it a physical thing? I don't know, because I don't know enough about it, you know? And then you have some people that may be limited in their ability to read. Everybody is not a visual learner. Some people learn by experience. Some people learn by conversation. So, you know, it's a matter of making sure that those availabilities are there for everyone, so that no one is left behind or no one is left feeling like, I don't get it. I think the important thing that you said is that there needs to be a team even on the outside. But just like you said, once you're discharged, you know, what's to stop you from coming back in? Because like you said, you're being put right back in that same environment, but you haven't been given any tools to navigate in that environment, right?
Right. And then sometimes it's like, you had like I know just off experience, we would send them to, you know, like an outpatient provider, but again, if you're relying on transportation, you're relying on other people to take you there, you're relying on, you know, the support. And if you don't have adequate support, that's going to fall through the cracks too, you know? And so I felt like the magazine helps start conversations, you know, it kind of builds that relationship and just getting people to like really understand like what's going on. And I think it's also so interesting with not even knowing the vocabulary. If you don't know the vocabulary, that's challenging. But even in addition to that, not knowing the how to go about doing things, you know, that becomes challenging too. And in the magazine, the goal is to really explain the how, you know, and with the resources that are available and just kind of connecting the dots and connecting people with resources that they might not see on a Google search.
Right.
You know, because I feel like those good Not to say that if you're easily accessible on Google, you're not good. That's not what I'm saying. But there's really good programs that when you know, try to look for them, you only know about them from word of mouth.
Right.
You know, just because it's just people, you know, they always talk about the good news. Like, we'll talk about bad news too, but in good news, like if someone had a good experience, they're right. Like, oh, I went to this place for this resource. If I went to that place and spoke to that therapist or this doctor, you know, and I think that that's important too. So I like to highlight individuals who are really just putting the groundwork in and really trying to help people navigate, you know, their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, mm-hmm. and being able to also identify support, because I also hear that a lot too, like, oh, I don't have anybody to support me.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, well, let's think about that for a second, you know, like, and how do you, like, how, like, maybe you have and you just didn't see them as that.
Right. You
know? So just trying to figure out how do I identify my support system. And also, another good thing is, you know, in addition to your support, just like letting them know what you need, you know, if something happens or when something happens, it's like, hey, this is what I need. And just kind of having those conversations, because I feel like, you know, with our support, our friends, family members, we're going to go to them first when we're not feeling.
Right. But I mean, that's it. You know, it's important. It's important, like you said, that you identify that support and what it looks like. And I think sometimes what does happen is we'll go to search for something. And then if it looks like it's overwhelming or it just seems like, no, well, you know, that's not going to work for me. We don't see another option. And so we quit. We just stop and say, I don't see, you know, I thought this was the only way that you could do it. Or, you know, I was denied this. And so, you know, I'm just going to stop because, you know, they told me I'm denied. So I guess I'm just stuck. I can't do that. And they have to know that there are other options. And just like you said, having that team or having that support, sometimes it's that other person that can come in and say, oh, well, did you consider this? Or did you know that they do this? Sometimes that happens, just like you said, even when you are in a crisis and then you're admitted and they're, you know, helping you to solve the problem or you're getting some type of relief. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I've, you know, what happened, I've gotten relief for that, or I've gotten medication for that, and now I'm just going to go on. Mm-hmm. But then they don't start to think, okay, so what happens if it happens again, or there are other things that are attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the physical, or it's not just the mental. There are other parts that come into play as well. What happens if you go and take that medication and you have some type of reaction to it? What are you supposed to do? Or if, you know, if you're feeling sad or if you're feeling a certain way and that medication is not soothing, what do you do? Or, you know, where do you reach out to? There are so many questions that happen after the fact. It's like, okay, I feel better now, but what happens if a week from now I'm not feeling better? What do I do? Am I supposed to come back? Am I just supposed to grin and bear it? What am I supposed to do? People don't know what to do once they quote unquote achieve what it was that they set out to do. You go to the hospital, you broke your leg, they put a cast on it, your leg is better. What do I need to do afterwards? So that way I can avoid a situation happening again, or should it happen again, or should I have something, you know, happen as a result? What do I do? Sometimes we don't know what to do afterwards. It's just like, okay, you've gotten what you need and off you go back into the world. But just like you said, you wind up going right back into the world that you left. And you're still ill prepared. So I love that you talk about the magazine and that you talk about, you know, people who are blazing the trails and that are really trying to, you know, put information out there, because it is. It's about creating platforms for us to have those conversations.
Yeah. And I feel like you can get a lot out of a conversation. You can learn so much about somebody. And, you know, most of the times, even with support, it's just listening. It's just listening and being a soundboard and letting them process, you know, which I think is interesting, because it's like sometimes people give like unsolicited advice and it's just like, I just came to vent, you know, so just kind of knowing those things as well. And so I'm definitely going to have something in the magazine in the near future about like just kind of being a good listener. I feel like I've had that in previous issues, but I feel like it's always something that, you know,
always, always. And just like even you know, my experience in the childcare industry, you know, and just talking about, you know, letting children or letting anyone just tell me what it is that you need.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our nurturing spirit and in our you know, willingness to want to help, sometimes, like you said, we overextend or we give unsolicited advice or we offer help. You know, I think about it. I'll give you an example. Like if a child falls and, you know, we're ready to pull out the first aid kit, we're ready to put a cast on their arm, and all they want you to do is kiss the boo-boo. They just want you to kiss the boo-boo. That's all. But did we ask them what it was that they needed? You know, and sometimes I think in when we talk about mental health, people think, oh, you're not capable of telling people what it is that you need. But yes, you are.
Yeah.
You have a voice, you know, and you know, there are some times where you can say, okay, yeah, this is what I need or this is what I want. And I think that sometimes people are, it's almost as though a muzzle is put on them. They're not able to tell, you know, because they feel, oh, you know, you're not stable. You can't possibly know what it is that you need.
Right.
And that's not always the case. So just like you said, having this magazine sounds like an opportunity to, you know, to address some of those, you know, like you said, some of those gaps that are there where people are just feeling like, you know, I've done all I can and this is all I can do. And so I can't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't start the conversations, if we don't ask the questions, if we don't, you know, present the resources, people don't know that they're out there. You don't know what you don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. You know? We don't know what we don't know. And so I think it's so important for us to keep having these conversations. You know, and not just wait until Mental Health Month to talk about mental health, because it's something that happens 12 months out of the year. You know, and so, you know, I applaud you for, you know, creating the magazine and for, you know, your efforts in bringing to light these situations that are going on. Now, what is something that you've seen in more recent times that has been something you're just like, wow, you know, this is really something that we need to address because we're seeing this happen over and over and over again. Is there anything in particular?
I feel like there's a lot of things that's come up. It's just people trying to transition into like the new normal and just trying to figure out like, you know, like how to go back into work. 'Cause there's some jobs that, you know, are requiring people to go back into the office, and then there's some that are still working from home. So it's just like navigating the new normal, you know. I've heard a lot of people, it's like now that outside is like open again, it's just like people are like everywhere, right? Like just have to be at everything, and that realize, like, you know, sometimes you got a budget for these things, you know, sometimes these things could be costly. So it's just kind of like wanting to be everywhere, right? You know. And then another thing that I hear is like relationships is a big thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's probably maybe more so because it's social media, but yeah, that's kind of a tough one. But I feel like I've heard a lot of people just trying to navigate into the new normal, you know, just trying to really see what that's like. And like they have to be everywhere, and some people I feel like are maybe because there's so many distractions of not knowing how to like sit still and be alone, right? I think that's also a big thing that I've seen too. It's like every as if we're trying to catch up for the 2 or 3 years that we've been alone, you know. So it's just like the world's still going to turn. It's, you know, it's okay. I felt like COVID was like a reset, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many people to just,
yeah. And it's still here. And that's the thing. Yeah, you know, I've heard of people recently. I have a family member who just recently got diagnosed with COVID, and so people are like, thinking, oh, well, it's over. It's not here anymore. And it's like, yeah, it's still here. It's still here, you know? But definitely, just like you're saying with, you know, people just trying to figure out, okay, what's next? What's next? Everybody's trying to see what's next. And you make an excellent point about, you know, yes, just trying to be everywhere. People are trying to catch up. You know, like, what did I miss in these last 2 or 3 years, you know, of having limited access to being places? Now I want to be everywhere and not realize that there's a risk involved in that as well. But, you know, just saying, you know, what did I miss? But what happens when you go out there and you realize there wasn't a whole lot that you missed, or what was it that you did to create, you know, memories? What did you do in that time?
Right.
You know, to advance your mind, your spirit, or, you know, or we're just waiting for the, you know, to catch the wave of the next thing that's happening or the next thing that's trending, you know? It is a lot. There is a lot, and there are a lot of gaps. I think we're seeing a lot of gaps, especially at you in advocacy. How are we advocating for people? I think about people who are Gen Xers like myself, who have older parents, and where we're now having to take on the responsibility of taking care of our aging parents.
Yeah,
things like that are coming up, and it's just like, okay, how do I best advocate for them? And I'm still trying to advocate for myself.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that are coming down the pipe, you know, with regards to mental health and mental awareness that you know we're going to have to keep having these conversations.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it's going to get any easier. You know, things are coming in, things are becoming more complex. As we're talking about, you know, all of these things with AI and all of these things that are coming down the pipe, you think, I can't handle one more thing, but here it comes, here it comes. It comes, and it comes like a freight train, and I really feel that, you know, we have to start getting ourselves in position. I'm huge on toolboxes. What are the tools that we need to have in our toolbox so that we're not reacting, but responding to the things that are happening around us? Mm. And I think that's a critical, you know, question that we have to begin to answer. What are we doing to prepare ourselves to respond to the things that are coming to us so that we're not reacting out of anger, out of fear, out of frustration, out of ignorance?
Yeah,
because we're seeing a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my hope is that, you know, like you said, as you're sharing your magazine, as you're bringing, you know, to light some of these you know, topics that we've been talking about, that people will see that, you know, that there are ways that we can start to fill that toolbox. There are resources out there. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, at, you know, moving forward, you know, what are your hopes for the magazine and its frequency and the information that you'll share moving forward?
My hopes is that the magazine becomes mainstream. Like, when you think of mental health, you think of Helpful Living Magazine. My hope is to get people more comfortable with making mental health a common conversation. And my hopes is for people to be more open, you know, and saying that they're not okay, you know, like, all right, well, I'm not okay. I need to go find a therapist, or I need to talk to somebody, or I need to join a program, or I need to do something. And really just hone in on what they can do to better themselves. Cause if you're not okay mentally, it's going to be challenging to be, you know, just to be okay in life, you know? I feel like when you focus on yourself and focus on, like, how to better yourself mentally, it gives you a different outlook. So my hopes is that people are really just kind of like, you know what, this magazine helped me, or it gave me enough education to want to go ahead and seek a therapist or whatever, you know, whoever. But I think that it's important. But again, I want the magazine to be mainstream. To be in homes, to be a go-to resource for people, if they're looking for something in the mental health world that they, think of the magazine as like, oh, okay, let me check out and see what's out or what's available and then go from there. So that is definitely my hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. And that's my hope for the magazine as well. I know that, you know, at, like I said, normalizing the conversation is going to be key. And like you said, this is going to be something that's going to help to at least scratch the surface on you know, being able to dig a little deeper. You know, this is an information age. You know, we have access to so much information. And, you know, like I said, if we know what to ask or where to go, we can begin the process of healing. And, you know, it starts with education. It starts with knowing. Again, like I said earlier, you don't know what you don't know.
No.
So sometimes we got to bring that information to others, you know, who may not be able to find that information on their own. So I applaud you and your efforts for doing this. And, you know, being a sister and you know, starting a magazine and, you know, having it, you know, get to a space of mainstream, well, I'm already claiming it for you. So, you know, it's going to be mainstream and people, you'll be able to really glean from, you know, the information that you're sharing. It's so important, you know, and just like you said, with, you know, regards to, you know, I've got to look and find out what's going on with myself. You know, we're energetic beings. We get our energy from each other. And then especially, you know, you have a young child, you know, your child is going to get their energy from you and their cues from you. And so the more mentally stable and sound we are and willing to be open-minded about things that can help us to be better versions of ourselves, I think that we'll, you know, be able to benefit from that. And we'll be able to pass that along to the generations that are following us. So again, like I said, I applaud you for what you're doing with your magazine, for your efforts in bringing mental, you know, health and wellness to the forefront. And just like you said, to normalizing the conversation so that it no longer becomes taboo in our communities, but it becomes something that's going to be a part of educating ourselves, of empowering ourselves as individuals, you know, when we talk about mental health, mental fitness. So one thing now I want to ask you first is to tell people how they can get in contact with you regarding your magazine and how they can subscribe.
Absolutely. So our website is helpfullivingmag.com. Again, helpfullivingmag.com. And then the Instagram page is at helpfullivingmag. I post on there pretty frequently, and then I also have a Facebook page, Helpful Living Mag. But if you go to the website and go down to the icons, it'll direct
you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, how often does the magazine go out?
Oh, it goes out every quarter. So we're getting ready to launch our August issue. So it's August, November, February, and May. So it comes out every quarter, and it's roughly about 60 pages. And I feel like I decided to do quarterly because I felt like once you get done with it, it'll be like the next one will come out. Because it's definitely a lot of information. There's wellness activities, journal prompts as well. I wanted to put some light into the magazine and give people, you know, like right now tools and things that they can do within the magazine. So yeah, it comes out quarterly.
Awesome. Awesome. And I love that. And I love that. Like you said, you have different activities and things that will engage the reader. So it's definitely something I've already subscribed. So y'all go ahead and make sure that you subscribe as well. Go on the website, check it out again. Helpful, HELPFUL, helpfullivingmag.com. You know, and make sure that you go and catch that next issue that'll be coming out. I mean, it'll be fresh off the presses. So make sure that you definitely chime in. Okay, well, I want to ask Jamie, are there any other things that you want to, leave with our listeners regarding mental health and just something that, you know, they can keep in mind or something they can carry with them, a takeaway? So
sure. One of the things I wanted to say is just for people to make yourself a priority. You know, self-care is not selfish, and self-care doesn't have to be getting your nails done, your hair, or your pedicure. It could be really just something that you like to do. So I encourage people, take some time out for yourself, carve out some time, and write down you know, some things that you want to do, whether you write it on a notepad, whether you write it on your phone in the notes section, just really like make a list of things that you like to do. And then as time allows it, just kind of do one of those things, whether it's breathing for 5 minutes or taking a, or not breathing, meditating for 5 minutes, whether it's taking a walk, whether it's journaling, whether it's, you know, watching your favorite show. But I feel like that's the start of something, having a list so that you can know like, okay, this is what I like to do. And then just go ahead and do it. And I know oftentimes people say, oh, I'm busy. I would encourage you for the next couple of days, just really pay attention to what you're doing. You know, pay attention to like when you have idle time, what are you doing during that idle time? And just find ways that you can just kind of carve in that, the things that you like to do. So mm-hmm. I would encourage people to do that, and literally take one step at a time. So,
that's it. It's not, we all know it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah. You know, I think mental health and wellness altogether is a journey. And it's a journey that we're constantly on. And it's all about putting one foot in front of the other, you know, and trying not to stumble and fall. But if we do, knowing that, you know, we have the resources to be able to get back up and keep going. So I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. Now, of course, it is customary on the How Now podcast to ask people how they are living in the now. So tell me what you are doing to live in the now and to navigate in this space.
So what I'm doing to live in the now, honestly, is being a mom. as you hear in the background. But one of the things that I do is I try to put myself first, just as I've been saying for people to do. I'll wake up and really just do something for me. So whether it's, you know, reading my word, taking a walk, listening to music, just something that I do for myself before I am available to others. I always tell people you can't be everything to everybody and nothing to yourself. So what I do with living in the now is really just putting myself first and making sure that I'm okay, so then that way I can help my little ones and my husband and just everyone that I work with, so I can do my part in helping them.
Awesome. And look, and like I said, you're doing it. You are doing it. And it has just been a pleasure having you here and to talk about your magazine, and know that you are part of the How Now family now, and you're always welcome to come back, because like I said, what's happening 2 minutes, what's happening now is not, may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 months, 2 years, 2 days from now. So you're always welcome to come back and tell us what's going on in your now. So again, thanks so much for being here with us, for taking time out of your schedule, for sharing yourself and your lovely son with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it has truly been a pleasure. Okay. And folks, that'll do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.